Now that the Miami Hurricanes have landed 8 commits so far for the class of 2024, and Vincent Shavers is in as of last night, who's next?
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Saturday. I'm Alex Dono, your host, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet and contributor to allhurricanes.com. And thank you so much to the everydayers for making Locked On Canes your first listen. We are available free wherever you get your podcasts and available free on YouTube. So the Hurricanes landed a pledge last night, Friday night, from 3-star linebacker from Miami Central, Vincent Shavers. And I don't know, I think we've seen some subtle hints out there that there could be more quote-unquote movement soon. So to help me break this all down, there he is, the legend himself, Chalupa Batman is with us, Corey Carmona, but better known as Chalupa Batman. Mr. Chalupa, how you doing, sir?
What's up, Dono? Happy Saturday, buddy. How's it going?
Going really, really well. And so I know a lot of folks are talking this morning. Our pal Gabby Arrudia at Inside the U is saying, like, hey, there could be, you know, some more movement. I haven't, at least as at the time we're having this conversation, I haven't seen any bat signals come out for the staff or anything like that. But, you know, I know Miami likes to build these waves of momentum. And we will talk a little bit more about Vincent Shavers a little bit later in this episode. We covered it in full last night, by the way, if you guys want to check it out. But I kind of wonder, Chalupa, who could be next here? Because I've got my eyes on a handful. If we're talking about another class of 2024 committing, whether it be later today or in the coming days, I like KJ Duff, the tight end. Feel like Miami has made positive inroads with him. Zaquan Patterson, the 4-star safety out of Chaminade. I like Zaquan a lot. I'd love to lock up a safety. And defensive back Ricky Knight III out of the Benjamin School, 3-star, 4-star, depending on where you look, which publication. I feel like these guys maybe could be candidates to be commits in the near future.
Definitely. Those are on the short list for sure. Ricky Knight, definitely. It seems like he could be any day now. We were talking a little bit before that every time a flag comes out, he's kind of at the top of the list. He seems to be the one that is kind of doing the double dutch thing where he's almost ready. And with KJ Duff, we know we want to lock up more pass catchers. He just announced that Miami's in his top school. So he's probably soon. It seems like June may be that real big kickoff month, but Zaquan is probably at the top of my want list, especially because, you know, we're going to have a couple safeties in the draft next year. Right. We do have youth there. We've got Marquis, who I love. But bringing in a guy like Zaquan would be huge. 4-star from Chaminade, which is probably my favorite school name in the entire country. But he can do it all, man. He can play in the box. He can play the deep third. He is physical. And when you watch him, I love a kid who puts his special teams work on his highlights. He is a menace on special teams. He really can do it all. That old throwback Miami safety that would play all phases of the game. He's going to start on defense. He's going to play on the kickoff team and the kickoff return team.
Do you ever get rattled or annoyed by some of the narrative? Because I see, and like, listen, I don't even care about this stuff, but anytime a 3-star player commits to Miami, and I check my YouTube comments and I check my Twitter feed. Some of it's coming from Florida State and Florida fans, but some of it is supposedly coming from Canes fans who are like, 3-star you, 3-star Mario strikes again. I mean, this is coming off a top 7 recruiting class last year. Now people are freaking out about 3-stars. You know, I know that you're kind of becoming, you're becoming sort of an amateur scout out there because you put so much time into film study. I'm trying to dive into that world as much as I possibly can, but I lean a lot on people like Larry Bluestein and Brian Smith and John Garcia Jr. for that. They're kind of helping me get more and more into this stuff. I think the more you get into the weeds, the less you start looking at stars. You're just looking at, can these kids play or can't they play? Like, I'm not going to worry about how many stars are on this player right now.
We always say once they put on the Canes uniform, the stars don't matter. There is nobody lining up against Mauingoa this year thinking, well, he's a five-star incoming offensive tackle. Let me back off on this play. Watch the film. That's something that Brian Smith taught me. Watch the film. The stars are more so for publicity. They're for the publications to write about the kids. It's good for them to get their names out. But at the end of the day, you watch the tape and you see, can this player be a good fit? A lot of times guys are just under the radar. So much goes into those stars. Do you go to enough camps? These camps cost money. You know, are you traveling? Are you playing 7-on-7? A lot of times you've got linebackers that don't really play 7-on-7 because they're thumpers. It doesn't really benefit them to be out there trying to cover KJ Duff in the slot. So a lot goes into stars, and it is frustrating. I get the same tweets. He's a three-star CB. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. I just copy and paste the same thing. Forget the stars. Watch the tape. Now, if your comment is, I watched the tape and he's a little too small, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about X, Y, and Z, let's have that conversation. But don't just look at the stars and say, oh, he's good or he's not good. We've all been Canes fans for years. We've seen five stars come in here and look like two stars.
Right.
And we've seen two stars come in here and look like five stars. So watch the tape. Can he play? Does his game transition to the next level? Is he playing against good competition? These are the things that are way more important than what a scout says his star ranking is. Because, spoiler alert, if you Google a kid, his stars will be different depending on the publication.
Yeah.
Rivals may have him as a 5. On3 may have him as a 3. And 24/7 may have him as a 4. So ingest that information. It's not bad information to ingest. But then click the highlights, watch his tape, and that will give you the real evaluation. You can't tell if a player is going to make it based on his stars.
So when we come back here with Chalupa Batman, I want to talk more about the newest Miami Hurricane pledge, linebacker Vint Shavers. I want to have this chat with Chalupa because the last time we were on together, Miami's transfer portal receiver class was not finished. We had not landed Shamar Kirk yet at that point. So we got to talk about Tyler Harrell and Shamar Kirk. You got to keep it locked right here. We're only getting started on this episode of Locked On Canes. Folks, I've been rocking now for the past week, ever since they were nice enough to send me a couple pairs, and I'm buying more on my own because they're so awesome. I've been rocking my Bird Dog shorts, and guys, these things just feel like summer. You know, I live in South Florida. Chalupa lives over in Texas. It's hot as hell in both of the places where we live. And so I get these Bird Dog shorts on. Somehow they make my legs look great because they've got this just perfect streamlined fit, but they're also super stretchy and super comfortable. It feels like you're wearing athletic shorts, but they look like casual shorts. So I can wear these to, you know, outdoor parties, pool parties. I can wear these out on the golf course. I can wear these out shopping. And you're going to understand, these are the most comfortable shorts I've ever had on, guys. Stretchy fabric. They give me the freedom to wear one pair of shorts wherever I go. I can even wear these to meetings. Heck, I mean, I can wear these to work because, you know, you're only – I mean, I need to find a way to do a show where you can see my shorts because I always go waist up on these things. I got to get these going as well with Bird Dogs. So you want to go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. And when you get there, enter promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE. They'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. I love this tumbler as well. So go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege and enter our code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE. You will be glad you did. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. We're available free wherever you get your podcasts and available free on YouTube. And if you want to take your everydayer experience to the next level, be sure to subscribe to our exclusive SMS texting service through Subtext. I'm including a link in the show description below. I do one-on-ones with you guys on there. I send you SMS updates right to your phone. You send your text right to my phone. I send group updates to everybody throughout the day on recruiting scoops, on sometimes just random Canes thoughts that pop into my head. We have a lot of fun there on the subtext chat. So I'm including a link in the show description below. You can try it free for the first 14 days, nothing to lose. And then if you want to opt in, it's $4.99 a month. We give you a ton of extra value on there. So we're joined here by Chalupa Batman. Chalupa, it's amazing how in the matter of a week, we go from looking at, you know, the wide receiver position as a little bit of a concern. There are players there that we obviously like. Colby Young, we're very high on, you and I, Jacoby George, Xavier Restrepo. But then Miami goes out and they add Shamar Kirk, who is going to, I think, shock a lot of people, because sometimes you don't realize how good players you can find from junior college. Shamar Kirk is a gem. And listen, if our guy Tyler Harrell, if he can stay healthy, he's got that 4-2 speed. He can take the top off of any defense. So Miami completely changed the complexion of their wide receiver corps a couple of days last weekend.
Huge. Absolutely huge. We talked about the pressure. It felt like the pressure coming off of our shoulders. Every time that bat signal went out, 90% of the tweets was receiver. Receiver, receiver. We checked two huge boxes with these guys. With Harrell, you got a guy that is a burner, that can take the top off of defense and can work the bubble screens, the jailbreaks. He's the kind of guy that can take a two-yard pass and have it look like a 60-yard touchdown for Tyler Van Dyke, and everyone's happy. And then you got a more complete guy with Kirk. You got a guy that can do the dirty work in between the hashes. You got a guy that runs a full route tree, big, physical, blocks. And like you said, he's a gem. Just because he started at junior college, don't think that that should be a knock on him. Some guys are late bloomers. Some guys just slip through the cracks. You know, he was honest. He admitted that, you know, football to me was just kind of football. Didn't even realize how good he was at it. Grew up, matured, got a head on his shoulders, and the kid is an absolute baller, and he is big. Ja'Cory Brown was on a podcast recently and talked about how different the offense is. Now they're trying to beat blitzes with the throw. It's not necessarily about how I can beef up their protection. It's what are my hots? Who are my hot reads? These two recruits that we just got, these two commits, these are guys that are perfect for that kind of concept. You can dump it off to Tyler Harrell. He'll get you 7 yards on first down on a two-yard hitch. Shamar Kirk, after the catch, is dynamite. Shifty, elusive. He's got those long arms, stiff arms guys. And he's got the breakaway speed, too. Big guy that can really hit the home run. So both of them just expanded our offense so much. Nobody plays out of position this year now. And I think what Kevin Beard did is he didn't just get two receivers just to add depth. He got two guys that are hungry. He got two guys that are not here to take pictures, look pretty, or do any of that stuff. Harrell is here to perform. He is here to put tape on for NFL scouts.
Yeah.
He's focused. Shamar Kirk is focused. He's got a goal in mind. He's coming from junior college. He busted his butt to get here. These are two guys that are coming to the locker room to compete. They're not coming to swim in Miami, to see the girls, or to have fun on campus. They're focused, they're mature, and that's going to help the young guys too. Look at a guy like Ray Joseph or Robbie Washington. Tyler Harrell can help them tremendously. He's seen so much football, and he's a speedster. So he can tell them, hey, when you're seeing this, you think you won't be able to run that post. I've seen that coverage before. 2 years ago, they did this to me. I did this instead of this. And you can beat that double team. You can lean to your left. You can stack this cornerback like this, and that over-the-top safety won't get there. He can help the young guys in ways that won't show up on a stat sheet. That's why I like these two commits. Everyone loves getting the 4 or 5-star high school guys, but you do need maturity. You need focus. You need those guys that have seen football in your locker room, because it'll just help the football IQ of the overall receiver room.
That's well said. Now, if I put you on the spot to make a prediction here. So with Harrell and with Kirk, do you think either of them or both of them can actually earn a starting job at Miami next year? Because before their arrival, I would pencil in the outside starters as Colby Young and Jacoby George. Do you think either Kirk or Harrell can take one or both of those jobs away?
I think if we're asking who may come out the gate and earn that position, it would probably be Harrell, just because he's been in two different collegiate offenses. So him picking up another offense may not be as big of a learning curve for Kirk, who hasn't seen this level of an offense yet. But if I had to put my chip on one, I'd say Kirk. And here's why. Because Jacoby George can be used in the slot as well. He doesn't have to be married to being on the outside. We want Colby Young on the outside.
Yeah.
That's where he needs to be. That's where he's the most effective. You can move Jacoby George inside. He's another guy after the catch that's dynamite. So bubble screens, jail breaks, things like that. Then you put Shamara on the outside of Colby Young. And I think that could be your opening day starting. If I had to put my chip on one, because Harrell will probably be used in a lot of different formations, a lot of different position groups. He's that 100-mile-an-hour reliever that you bring in to change things up. But Kirk is a guy that first through third down, he can get it done. If you need to go vertical, he can do that. You need a slant, he can do that. You need someone just to pick you up a first down on third down, he can help move the chains too. So I'd put my chip on Kirk. What do you think?
Oh, I tend to agree. I think you hit it on the head. And I like what you said about Jacoby George's versatility, because I think that's going to be the key. And the thing is, whoever starts doesn't mean other guys aren't going to get a chance to play, because I know that Kevin Beard is going to have these guys ready and Dawson is going to be rotating the personnel quite a bit. And I'll tell you, Chalupa, I cannot wait until the first day of fall camp, because I love watching Kevin Beard anyway. He's like
favorite.
He's the most fun coach to watch because he's doing the drills. He's got cleats on at practice. I cannot wait to watch him coach in that group with Harrell and Kirk now on board. That's going to be so much fun.
I know he's oozing. You know he cannot wait to get his hands on Kirk. You know Coach KB saw that film and was like, oh, when I get my hands on him. Yeah. He's another guy like Colby Young, maybe a little bit raw from a technical standpoint, but skills galore. Yep. And you look at what they were able to do with just Colby in a short span last year. Now look at the transition we've seen from him now. Little bit of work with Kevin Beard, and he looks like a completely different receiver. He's slimmed down. He looks like a complete one now. We were a little bit worried that he would just be the vertical guy because that's why he was used last year. We saw him in the spring doing everything, and he's got that good connection with TVD. I think that's something Coach Kevin Beard is going to foster with the entire receiving room. And like you said, there will be rotation. I think no matter who starts, it doesn't just because Jacoby doesn't start doesn't mean he may not lead the team in catches this year.
Right.
Restrepo could end up leading the team in catches. I think we've got
so
many
weapons. I can see that for sure.
Weapons.
Yeah.
We may have three or four guys with over 30 catches this year. Restrepo may lead the team in catches, but be fourth in yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you could have Jacoby be first in yards, and then Colby Young may lead the team in touchdowns. So I think you're going to see a lot of versatility and a lot of guys eating from the receiving room this year.
And I want to see that competition in that room make everybody better. Because I'll tell you, man, the players that I love most are the players that thrive on that competition. Because, like, you know, I talk with a handful of Canes player parents, and I love it when they embrace, like, one of my – this is like my spirit animal as a dad of an athlete, Terry Roberts Sr.
Oh,
I love that dude so
much. Love that guy.
And so, you know, I can remember I was chatting with him the night that the Jadeus Richard defense, because, you know, his son, Terry Jr., plays defensive back at Miami, transferred from Iowa. And I remember when Richard transferred to Miami and you know, I was talking with Terry Sr. Oh, did we get that guy from Vanderbilt? And I'm like, yeah, we did. And I didn't know how he was going to react to that, but he was like, great. I can't wait to see my son compete. And he goes, Terry Jr. loves competition. So that's the attitude we have to get back to, Chalupa, because when I talk to guys who played in the 90s and around that 2001 team, like, you know, I had a chat, and I need to bring this guy back on the show, but I had a chat 6 or 7 years ago, long interview I did with Willis McGahee, and I remember talking about that running back room that he was in, you know, in 2001. 2002 was his breakout year, but 2001, when he was in that room with Clinton Portis and with Frank Gore and with Najee Davenport, like, he loved it. And that made everybody better. And these guys were at each other's throats competitively, just trying to get on the field. I want to get back to that.
That, to me, that's been the theme of Truth Tuesdays on Locked On. It's competition.
Yeah.
I think when we say we want depth, I think people assume their first mind goes to injuries. Like, oh yeah, if someone gets hurt. Well, that's not necessarily why you want the depth. I want the competition. I want them going to practice every week thinking, I can't take a day off because if I do, Harold's taking my spot. If I don't run this route, Robbie's going to want to run this route. Ray Ray's going to want to run this route. I need to take this extra carry because Fletcher's going to want to take this extra carry and I ain't letting him score again today. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ajayi's going to be thinking to himself, now I got to establish myself in practice. Chaney's broke off 4 long runs today. It's time for me. I want that competition. It's going to bring out the best in everyone. Mario always says iron sharpens iron. That starts on the practice field. That starts with guys showing up every day, giving their best, because if they don't, the person behind them is coming for their job. That's the Miami way. That's how they built greatness at this program, and that's how Mario is going to build his program. You've seen it already. He's not scared to bring in 2 5-star left tackles. Battle it out. Find out which one's the best. And if you're one of those recruits that, oh, I don't want to go there because they just got a DB, then that's not the Miami guy. We want the guy that says, I don't care. I'm line me up against him if he's another 4-star receiver. I'm gonna play regardless. When I talked to Ripley Luna, he said 5-star, 4-star. Mm-hmm. You put him against me and I'm competing. Ain't no scholarships at Green Tree. There's orange and white jerseys. It's all about competition. And I think to build what Mario is trying to build, you need the depth. You need the competition. If not, guys get complacent. They're human beings. You don't know how fast you can run until someone's chasing you.
Right.
All these guys in the receiver room are about to find out just how fast they can run, because now there's 2 more guys coming in to chase. I love the competition. To me, that's what the U is. If there's a breakdown on Webster's about the U, one of the first words behind swagger is going to be competition. It's Amen. What we do.
I want to go a little bit off the beaten path here. Last thing I want to get into is the ACC. Okay. Oh. So there was a lot early last week. There's a lot of chatter about the Magnificent Seven, right? The schools, including Miami. I think Clemson and FSU were the ones who were really leading that charge. But Miami, among that group of 7 who were, you know, exploring avenues on whether they can legally get out of that grant of rights agreement. And anyone who listens to this show and watches the show, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the ACC. And it's mainly because of that awful TV deal that they locked themselves into through 2036 with seemingly no hope to renegotiate that, okay? So you're stuck getting left behind revenue-wise compared to the SEC and the Big Ten with those massive TV deals they're putting together. And, you know, Chalupa, we come out of the ACC just had their spring meetings last week at Amelia Island, and I know that Phillips, the commissioner, and the ADs are kind of, you know, they're singing kumbaya coming out of those meetings, like, oh, you know, we're unified, we're in lockstep. But then I hear the ACC commissioner talking about this reformulation of revenue, like to think that I'm going to make these 7 schools happy by potentially, you know, giving incentive-based revenue to certain schools. And oh, well, and also with the college football playoff expanding, if a team can get into that, they get expanded revenue. I can remember, this is many, many years ago, I was working a certain job, getting paid peanuts, okay? And, you know, I received an offer, better money from a different job. And so, you know, I do that thing that people sometimes do where I tell my current employer, like, hey, I like it here. I'd like to stay here. Can you match this offer? And I remember them, they came up with this formula where it's like, wait, you're not actually paying more money. You're just giving me these fancy fake numbers about how you can incentivize this. And like, so I look at, like, I stare at this piece of paper. I'm like, so you're not really offering me any more. Like, that's basically what the ACC is doing. It's like, well, we don't have any more revenue. We can't get any more revenue until 2036, but we can maybe find a way to redistribute this and make everyone happy. It feels like a house of cards to me, bro.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that analogy. It is you asking for a raise and your boss saying, I can offer you more hours. That is not the same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for 60 hours. I asked to make more money for 40 hours. It feels like other teams in other conferences are getting steaks and we are getting peanuts. That's what it feels like. I don't know why you would lock yourself into a deal that long. It seems either like a lack of confidence in the football in the conference or focus towards basketball, which the ACC is a little bit of a basketball conference. It doesn't seem productive to me, especially in this day and age where these teams are trying to maximize their revenue for their programs, and they are all trying to go to the best conference that has the best TV deal that can allow them to get the best money, because you can upgrade your facilities. You can do more to attract more recruits. I don't understand why you lock yourself in a bad deal for that long. If you have to take a bad deal to prove yourself, you take a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year deal. There has never in the history of life been a football player that tears his ACL, comes back, gets a prove it contract, and signs a 7-year contract. Yeah. When he knows he just needs to prove it for a year or two, and then he'll get the big deal. Why would you sign a contract that long? Now you've got your top schools calling other conferences like, hey, what's up, big head, you up? Because it's not just football. It's all the other programs. But football brings in the most money, and it funnels down to these other programs. Right. It allows you to have a better tennis program, a better swimming program, a better golf program. If there is more revenue coming in from your cash cow, if your cash cow is bringing in peanuts, that trickles down to the rest of the athletics within the program. To me, it's mind-boggling. It just seems like the ACC didn't have confidence in their package, so they went with the first deal that they got. They didn't vet it. Did they even look at what other conferences were getting? It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
So now there's all this talk about the Magnificent Seven looking elsewhere, Florida State wanting to go to the SEC, Miami maybe in the SEC, the Big Ten. There's this weird Big 20 graphic that went viral. You know, there's because, you know, and I know a lot of people just go, you know, it's about money. It's not about money in the sense that you may think when you see that. It's not just people wanting to line their pockets. These things help the university. You want to build better facilities. We all want a new stadium. Where do you think that money comes from? Right. It's frustrating. And as someone who went to the school, you know, who's an alum, you know, I'd like to get your take on it, because, you know, you love this school. We all love this school, but you're an alum, a UM alum. And to see them be stuck in a deal like this for this long, it's got to be infuriating.
Well, I know where Miami used to be, and I know where they'd like to get to again in terms of, and you're starting to see them in recruiting battles and winning some of them with the Georgias, and Ohio State's been kicking our butts a lot, but we did win a few recruiting battles against them, and the Alabamas, we won a few battles against them, and so on. But it's like, if you really want to get into that conversation where, and obviously Miami's far away from this right now, where you want to be looked at the same way people look at the Georgias and the Bamas and the Clemsons, who's a little bit on the way down maybe, but the Ohio State, if you want to be in that conversation, you can't get there when you've got a revenue gap of 30 or more million compared to schools that are in a different conference. Like, it's just at a certain point, that's just a bridge too far. Okay. And so it's like, you know, some people will hit me up and say, well, hey, you remember in the 80s, Miami was winning national titles. They were independent. Why don't we go independent again? Unfortunately, the TV revenue landscape has changed so much. Like, Notre Dame has been able to do that independent thing. For Miami to do that would be difficult. I don't think that's a sustainable model anymore. So I just, it hurts me, the idea. And so listen, if they can find a way to make it work within the ACC, that's fine. I don't, you know, hate the ACC at its core. I just hate the situation the ACC is in. So yes. I just, you know, but you mentioned, I'm an alum. I love this school so much. I'm on campus every so often. You know, I visit some of my old haunts that I, you know, was there from 03 to 07. And I just, you know, I'm a Miami football fan since way longer ago than that. I want Miami to be at the tip top again. And I don't know if you can do it if you can't make the type of revenue or anywhere close to it that the Big Ten and the SEC are making.
It's just it at the end of the day, it doesn't feel fair when you see the numbers. Like,
yeah,
just from a logic state, when you look at that, you go, oh, that doesn't seem fair. How does it makes you wonder, like I said earlier, was it a situation where the ACC maybe thought some of our big schools may migrate anyway, so let's take a package that we can get now.
Right.
That's the only thing that comes to my head. But I don't think bringing in your top schools and telling them a raise would be great. We all agree you deserve one.
Right.
I can offer you more hours and a pizza party. It's like, we can buy our own pizza, fam. We don't need the pizza. You know, so now you got these schools who are probably trying to figure out if they can get out, because a lot of these contracts are ironclad. So now you're in a situation where can you get out? And then, you know, let's say the all seven don't go. If four do, what happens to this conference, you know, going forward? Yeah.
I don't know. I think I don't know if four could get out. I think you need at least seven, if not eight, to get out, because you probably need a majority just to be able to get out.
And then you have the situation where do you go? Because everyone can't be in the SEC. I'm right. going to rename that thing the Big South Conference, because everyone's joining it. But you have to ask yourself why. It's not just because of the football. It's because of the TV deals, the exposure. Mm-hmm. When you're in a kid's living room speaking to him about recruiting, it's one of the first things his parents are going to want to know. How do I watch him? Now, right. if he's from South Florida, it's not hard. He can go what? Riley and Ripley and Colby's parents want to know how they can watch them.
Right, from Idaho.
Kids and from Idaho, from California, from Texas. It's really easy when you say, oh, he's on ESPN every week. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus will send you the subscription.
Yeah, so, now for some of these games, it's like, well, you have to download the Bally Sports app, and you've got to log in through a VPN, because if they think you're in Luxembourg, it's not going to be blacked out locally, so you want to go with either Luxembourg, or maybe tell them you're in Transylvania with the VPN. You'll be able to watch. Like, what is going on?
You remember the spring game? How many tweets did you get about the spring game where people were so confused?
Yes.
On how do I watch this? See,
and I was so confused on how to answer it. Yeah.
I didn't know how to answer people. I finally saw someone else answer it short, and I was like, copy and paste. Because I was getting CB, I'm on ESPN, I'm not seeing it. CB, I'm on the app, I'm not seeing it. I'm looking at the guide. Then it didn't even show up on the guide till about an hour before the game. You don't want these problems with the fan base. There are right. with every fan base, no matter what it is. I don't care if you like racing, football, backgammon, or Golden Girls. There's hardcore, and then there's casuals. The casuals need to be able to do two or three clicks and find what they watch. That's a lot of your fan base. They're people that don't follow recruiting every day. They're not on Twitter. They may not be on YouTube, but they're going to tune in on Saturdays to watch their Canes. If you make it difficult for these people to watch their Canes, they're going to find other things to do, unfortunately.
Amen.
Make it easier on them. These conferences have it easier. Texas is trying to get out of the Big 12 because it's hard to watch them. Yeah. They had to give them their entire own network that was then blacked out in some areas in Texas. Right. And it was chaos. You can't have that in this day and age. People's attention spans are so short. There's 30 college football games on a Saturday. If you make it hard for me to watch this one, I'm just going to watch another one. And you don't want that. So the ACC has to tighten that up. We do not need to have to plug our laptops into our TVs, go through a VPN, through our tablet, call our grandmother on FaceTime. And if all those things line up perfectly and it's a full moon, I can watch the second half of this game.
It's simpler.
I live in Texas. It's hard sometimes. Yeah.
It's simpler to type in the nuclear launch codes. Like that is easier. That is easier than on those Bally Sports Florida games. Like, oh my God,
it's absurd. I
can't do it.
I don't like that. So that to me, that's the big thing. It's the conference needs to have good television, good revenue, and have a clear platform where we are supposed to enjoy our Canes. That's all we want.
Amen to that. We'll wrap it up on that note. Guys, make sure you follow Chalupa Batman. If you don't already, you should, at Corey Carmona on Twitter. You can follow me at Alex Nano, but follow the show at Locked On Canes. And if you follow Locked On Canes, we will follow you back. And by the way, Chalupa is not only a colleague of mine at allhurricanes.com, he also does a fantastic job on the You Heard pod. He referenced that earlier. Support the guys, Ben and Joe and Chalupa. Thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you, buddy. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Shout out to the chat. Always love you guys.
And for the everydayers, you know, we got a big week coming up. We may not even be done this weekend. We'll see if a commitment does drop. We will be back. And I know it's in an episode coming up soon. We're going to talk with Miami Hurricanes quarterback signee, preferred walk-on Max Lawrence, who's a friend of the show. He's going to join us at some point. So we will talk to you again next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.